And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Rock God Rick Mexa in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. Captains Gavin and Matt from Captain's Concepts are here. And, wow, what a great service they provide.
No doubt, man. I mean, you want to talk about the best and the latest and greatest info. I mean, the videos happen on their way back to the dock, so I don't know how you can get much fresher than that. But,
yeah,
been a great show. Lots of great info with these two guys, as always. If there's no reason or there's no surprise as to why Captain's Concepts is so popular with everybody. If you want to get through, ask a question today. The best way to do that is through the phones. We are 100% packed up right now, but we got another full hour of taking your phone calls. 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us on Let's Talk Hookup. Or send us a text. Lots of really good text questions coming through. That's only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. And when you do text your question in, make sure that you include your contact info. So if you win that big prize at the end of the show today, we can make sure to get a hold of you. And what a prize it is. Brand new pair of Costa sunglasses going to somebody at the end of the show today. A certificate good for anything on the Costa website, up to $300. So a really, really cool prize at the end of today's show.
Speaking of Costa, this year Costa is celebrating their 40th anniversary of making polarized sunglasses for anglers worldwide. And this Thursday, May 25th, Costa is hosting an event at San Diego Fishing for the San Diego Fishing Community at West Marine on Rosecrans Street in Point Loma. It's from 4 to 8. Costa will host a taco food truck, so free tacos. How about that at West Marine this Thursday? And also a bluefin tuna seminar from Costa Pro Steve Carson. In-store gifts on any Costa purchase, huge raffle from Costa sunglasses and accessories. Stop by West Marine on Rosecrans Street in San Diego this Thursday and join the 40th anniversary celebration, 4 to 8 p.m. I'll see you there.
That's so rad.
Yeah.
Still don't know if they're ready for how many tacos the fisherman community is going to take care of on free West Marine taco truck.
Oh, Hoos will be there. He'll
get down,
there.
Boy.
So, yeah. The whole Costa team's going to be there for sure. Also want to mention, too, on the Royal Star, they have a couple of rare openings. We mentioned it yesterday. The Larry Brown 7-day 19 people limited load trip has one spot open on June 17th through 24th. You can never get on that trip, and there's a spot open. And then on July 1st through the 9th, there's an 8-day trip. That's the Barking Spiders trip that has two openings.
That's a fun
group.
So
that's a really fun
group. I fished with those guys a couple of times.
Really
they're a lot
fun
of fun.
Guys.
Yeah.
So if you want to go on either one of those trips, RoyalStarSportFishing.com, you can book right online.
Imagine being on that trip. How many did you say, 17 people or
19
people? Whatever.
People.
Can you imagine that?
And all that you learn on that,
that's
too.
That's so cool.
Yeah, a lot of good people, a lot of good fishermen on that trip.
Well, some very patient callers and texts are standing by. Let's jump right back into it. And a great text came through from John in Rancho San Diego. Good morning, guys. I absolutely love Captain's Concepts. Questions for Matt and Gavin. How important is it to mark your line and know your depth? Do you recommend, and how do you recommend doing that? Do you like to buy the metered line or mark it yourself? And also, what is your absolute single favorite nighttime jig for fishing bluefin?
Marking your line is absolutely crucial. There was a few years where we were doing the knife jig thing or jig thing in general, and I didn't have my line marked, and then I marked my line and realized I was fishing a lot of dead water. It is huge. They make that metered line, the Iser line multicolor. And I think Power Pro,
Depth Hunter Offshore, yeah.
Yeah, that stuff's really good. But I prefer to mark it myself.
Do you?
Yeah, I use one of those like cheap Rapala line counters and a Sharpie on the way out. Uh-huh. And I do one big mark for 100, a small mark for 150, two big marks for 200, and two small marks for 250, and keep going down. And it has changed how I fish. You definitely need to do it if you're fishing bluefin. Even yellowtail, too, I do it.
Really?
Yeah, for yo-yo jig fishing.
For yo-yo jig fishing with the islands.
Yeah, exactly.
Really? So do you have a video on Captain's Concept on marking line?
100%, yeah.
Okay, how about that? So, Gavin, so you call out, hey, the fish are at 250 feet. where are you going to put your, how deep are you going to drop that? Where, what mark are you going to drop to?
I would probably go down almost 300 feet.
Okay.
Because you want to make sure your lure is sinking all the way through the fish, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you're, I would go down. If I was fishing and I in the wheelhouse and I see the feet, the fish at 250 feet, I'm going to work my lure from probably like 220 to maybe 280, you know, in that area. Kind of depends like how thick the fish are, you know, if they're, if, how big the school is or whatnot. But you definitely want to go a little bit deeper past the fish. You don't want to go to 250 and stop. You know, you want to make sure your lure is going all the way through the fish, all the way back up through the fish again.
Yeah. And when you say working the lure, you mean just raising it and lowering it through that zone.
Yeah, working it through the water column. That's, yeah. You know, we've talked a lot about how we fish our lure. So however you're fishing that particular lure, you know, just work that through that whole water column.
There was a question yesterday, and it would be great to get your guys' input through it, and the caller had a question. If, you know, whatever. You said that the fish are at 250 feet. Do you get yourself down to 250 feet and just, you know, whip your rod up and down like you were trying to catch a cod, like keeping it in gear but just, you know, raising and lowering the rod? Or do you always want to be winding up and then dropping and free spool through that or both? Or what's the best way to do it?
I like to cover some water column. I wouldn't say that I just drop it down and wind it straight up and drop it down. I'll drop it down, get to a mark, stop, pump it a couple times, drop it back down. You know, so I do a combination of both, I would say. I want to make sure that I'm covering lots of water or covering a fair amount of water column, but also I'll do stuff like that, stop my lure as it's going down, stop as it's coming up, kind of vary my speeds, you know, so I'm kind of working my lure, doing a handful of different things, but I'm definitely not just dropping it down and putting it in gear most of the time.
And what if the weather's up and you're moving quickly? Are you dropping it faster? Are you bringing it up to the surface more? What about
that? The lures are definitely, like, they're vertical jigs, you know. They work the best when they're being fished vertical. So when the boat's drifting fast, as soon as you're starting to get a little bit of angle in your line, you just have to wind all the way up and start over. When you get angle in your line, a couple different things happen. It's harder to judge how deep you are because of that angle in your line. You might have to let out 400, 450 feet of line to get down to 300 feet a foot depth. But also your lure does not fish the same. It's not sinking the way it's supposed to. It doesn't work the water column like it's supposed to when it starts to get angled out away from the boat. All these knife jigs, you know, they're vertical jigs. They're designed to be fished straight up and down and vertical.
Vertical.
Matt, is there a higher percentage of when the bites come, or is it totally random? Meaning, like, you know, sure, you do all these things, but, you know, most of the bites come when I'm winding, or most of the bites come when it's dropping, or most of it come when I stopped it in the fall, like Gavin was talking about.
It's day-to-day, school-to-school. Some days, they're always on the drop. Some days, they're always on the wind-up. Seems like nighttime, most of it's dropping. Daytime, it seems like you get a lot of bites moving the lure every which way. Some days, it's you're wasting your time fishing it on the way up. Mm-hmm. Some days, you just want to get down there so you could work it up through the fish.
Got it.
All right. Let's jump into those jam-packed phones, Rick.
Man, they jam-packed, they certainly are. How about Todd from Costa Mesa up next on Let's Talk Hookup? Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. Long-time listener, and had two questions here. One regarding the San Diego and one for Captain's Concept. So my dad is in his mid-70s and uses a kind of a cane and a walker and doesn't do too much fishing, and I want to get him out on a calm day out on the San Diego. Can you tell me any type of seating arrangements? Is there a lot of stairs up into the galley for my dad who uses a cane and a walker? And then my question regarding the Captain Concepts, love the idea. I subscribed to the Dave Hansen Saltwater Guide website. And how does your Captain Concepts compare to like a Dave Hansen type website? Thank you. I'll take the question off here.
Thanks for calling.
I'm not too sure exactly what Dave does. I know he basically does the same thing where he's teaching. It sounds like it's more catered towards private boat fishermen. Sounds like more beginner fishermen. Granted, we do plenty of stuff to help the beginner fishermen, but this is, a lot of our stuff is to up your game. I feel like the people on Dave's site have never fished before, just getting into it, so that kind of helps them.
Both great things for two different people,
yeah.
But your guys is, not that it's not good for a beginner, but it's such a look into, like, the inside baseball part of the fishing. You know, like, there's a lot to the basics, and then you guys go over the basics and beyond. And the beyond, I think, is what sets you guys apart so much.
Yeah, I'd say Two different people could watch one of our videos, and a more beginner could take a lot of stuff out of there. And then an advanced angler would notice smaller things, be like, "Oh man, I could add that too." So it's definitely a combo of both. You could take one of our videos, and like I said, a beginner guy and an advanced guy could take two completely separate things out of that video and up their game and become better fishermen.
There's a lot of learning on that website.
Oh yeah, enormous.
Yeah, a lot of information. Yeah.
So
and with that said, I'm sure that there's plenty of advanced stuff on Dave's site also. But like you said, you guys do such a good job gearing towards a specific audience. And Gavin, you touched on it earlier too. Now, a guy with a skiff, like I'm a skiff guy. I love Captain's Concept. I think there's so much good info that we apply with our skiff all the time. But your target guy is a guy that's going fishing on the Pacific Queen, he's going fishing on the San Diego, or he's a sport boat fisherman in general. Like, you give the best info for fishing on a sport boat.
Yeah, exactly. We talk about what the best anglers are doing, the guys who are catching the most fish, and the, just the little nuances that they're doing.
So what about the question of somebody that's a little bit disabled as far as on the San Diego?
There is some stairs going down in the galley, but there's plenty of seating on the main deck level. We do have people come out with walkers and canes all the time.
Yeah,
we have plenty of
people.
And
can you bring a folding chair and sit on the deck if you need to?
Yeah, there's people who do that. We don't recommend that when fishing's going on, obviously, just because it's hectic in certain cases.
Sure.
But there is seating outside, and we can always, our crew are on, we always paying attention to the people who we can tell aren't fully able to walk around themselves.
You have a guy that comes out in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah, we have a couple guys with wheelchairs. We have all kinds of people come out.
So bring your dad fishing.
Yeah, come on out.
Yeah.
You guys would be the first boat that comes to my mind, just because you said it best. Your crew is so on it. I mean, especially if
we're set up right for people
like
that.
Yeah, the boat's low to the water. It's wide. It's comfortable. There's a lot of room. And, you know, sure, Todd's father probably fished a bunch and wants to get a day. Like, you're the first boat that comes to my mind. Just in that you do such a good job of taking care of your passengers.
Yeah, that's the main goal.
Totally.
All right. Hey, Matt from Simi Valley texted us on the Let's Talk Hookup app. He wants to know what the best technique for fishing Colt Sniper is and what size Colt Sniper.
That's all day to day. It depends on the size of the fish. But just like the last videos we did, sliding them in seems to be the best. Like, sometimes the lures work the best in the beginning of the stop, and once we get settled in, they start biting the fly line baits. But it's mainly like a yo-yo jig. Think of it as a yo-yo jig. You're going to cast it out, get it through the zone, and burn it up and stop and go and stuff like that. And that's mainly how we fish it.
For us old guys that remember albacore, is it kind of like slide fishing with plastics on albacore?
Similar, but we were trying to get to depth more.
Okay.
With those albacore, you just drop it in the water and cast it out and try to get back towards where that troll fish was. We're setting up on a school and trying to get the school to come back through us. So what you want to do is get your lure down to depth where the fish are without having your lure scoped out. And that's kind of the trick thing.
I'm sure you know you do this on the boat every day, but when you have 18 people dropping lures on the back, it can be an issue, right? So what's the best technique to do that?
Well, that's exactly what we're not doing, is having people drop our lures straight off the back of the boat. So this is like stuff that we talk about on Captain's
Contest.
Right,
that's what I love.
You know,
totally.
That's the one thing with fishing, is there's no like set lure that works the best, or no set technique that works the best. You know, it's all variable all the time. So the guys that catch the most are catching on to when to use certain techniques in certain times. But most of the time when you're slide fishing with the lure, which is one of the more recent videos that we've talked about, we've talked about it a couple different times, is you're going to like start up towards the front of the boat, and you're kind of casting somewhat off the front of the boat, depending on which way the boat's turning, and you're kind of the lure is going to be like the boat sliding towards your lure, and that's what that's doing, is that's able to get your lure down to depth, which is what Matt's talking about. We're not, if you just dropped your lure right off the back of the boat, no matter how good your free spool is, how much line you let out, your lure, because of the drag, your lure is still going to be the drag of the water, you know, with the boat sliding forward. Your lure is not going to get down below maybe 20, 30 feet below the surface. Now, by starting up towards the front of the boat, casting somewhat off the bow, and the boat sliding towards your lure is able to sink down and get down to the depth wherever those fish are.
How do you keep control on the number of people doing that? Because I could see potential of a lot of tangles there.
It pays to be patient.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times people go in too early.
Okay.
Sometimes the boats slide really, really far. Like these big long range boats, they're heavy. They move a long ways when they pull them out of gear. And it helps to wait a little bit. A lot of guys get antsy and just go right in the water, and then their lure's scoped out, and they're never going to get down to the fish.
So just wait and watch.
Yeah. A lot of times that's one of the advantages me and Gavin have when we're stopping the boat on fish. We get set up. We talk on the radio. We get the people fishing. We see what's going on, and then we can run out. And by the time we run out, the boat is still sliding, and we're the patient ones, and we get the bite.
You get the bite. Okay, so take heed in that, right?
And I loved, like you said, like there again, Pete, you know, your description, and so the reason why you made the last video that you were talking about, the not just, you know, how to avoid being that guy that got in the tangle, and then if the tangle's coming at you, how you be heads up to avoid it, or at least minimize it if it is coming your way.
Yeah, like we're talking about, we've talked a couple times about short stop fishing. You know, if you spend the first 3 minutes of a stop in a tangle, like that could be your whole entire potential on that stop to get a bite, you know. So not only
the only stop on my boat.
Yeah, it could be the only stop. So knowing how to avoid that tangle is almost, or avoiding tangles is almost just as important as knowing how to get a bite, you know, because anytime you're in a tangle, you're not fishing, you know, you're out of the game. So, you know, there's little things like that that are just as, you know, a lot of people talk about what lure to use and how to get a bite and all that kind of stuff, but fishing on a sport boat with, you know, 25, 30 other people, a lot of it is keeping yourself out of those messes. That's going to get you more bites. It's going to get you more fish.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Chuck? Chuck's calling us from Dana Point this morning. Good morning, Chuck. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Thanks for taking my call. A lot of good info. You know, I got to give a shout out to Yosef. Man, that guy's on it. If you're stressed out about anything real estate, call this guy. Fisherman.
Yosef the realtor. Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
What a good guy.
Yosef the same.
Yeah.
You know, he's a great guy.
So, yeah, so fishing, now, what knot and how much mono do you put on for these jigs? Because, you know, that 110 and stuff. And then do you average the scope when you say 200 and you got a big scope? Do you average that in when you say the number? Say the 200, you say 250?
Ideally, you don't have any scope in your line. That's what Gavin was just talking about, casting off the bow. You're trying to combat the scope. You want no scope. You want to keep your lure vertical. If you're scoped out, wind up and start over. Don't waste your time.
And if you can't get there without being scoped, does that mean you're just fishing too light of a lure?
Yeah, exactly.
Drifting too fast? Like if you're not able to get to the depth without the scope, you need to increase your lure weight?
Yep, yeah. You got to fish the conditions. If you're not able to keep it straight up and down, you definitely need to bump up in lure size or sinker size.
And how about the mono question he was talking about? How much mono do we fish on top of the Spectra? None at all? Fluorocarbon? Like, what's the setup like there?
This is where Matt and I kind of differ a little bit. When I'm fishing, like, Colt Sniper style, just specifically Colt Sniper style lures, I like to fish a fair amount of mono, like 100 or 120 feet of mono, whereas Matt, I think, likes to fish Spectra to 15 or 20 feet of fluorocarbon.
Yeah, I'm Spectra to fluoro.
So we rig our lures a little bit differently. I typically use an upgraded treble hook for that, and that's why I like having mono, because I think the treble hook and mono combination goes really well together, mm-hmm. whereas Matt goes with a single hook typically on his lures, and that's where the Spectra to fluorocarbon is more efficient for that type of hook.
And are you like a single hook just hanging off the back or an assist hook?
I actually use a ringed live bait hook mm-hmm. on the back of the Colt Sniper.
A ringed live bait hook?
Yeah, it gives it an extra little pivot point because you got an extra ring. And instead of those inline hooks, I see a lot of – you don't hook them very good on those inline hooks for some reason. Just the way they're set up, the point's not in the right spot. And with those ringed live bait hooks, you get a good hook. You get a good piece of meat. And you can – with the Spectra, you don't have any stretch. So you need a good chunk of meat on that hook to not pull the hook.
How big of a ringed live bait hook?
Depends on the size of the lure, but usually on those 100 to 120s, I use a Mustad hook. It's a Hoodlum. It's like a 7-aught or something like that.
So
7-aught
fairly size, good size.
Yeah, it's a pretty big hook.
All right.
Great. Good info. Great question, totally. All right. Hey, with that said, we're going to find out what's going on the water. Speaking of, our FishDope.com reporter, Captain Dave Hansen, is on the line today. That catch report is sponsored by the Fish Pros, Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Get the best fish processing while your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros the Market, you can purchase their famous spices, rubs, and the pokey kit. Stop by their location on Old Town and Trailer Street or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure to make those reservations by texting them at 619 619- 855-3128. And with this really good bluefin fishing going on, man, you got to make sure you get your fish processing reservations in. No doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's talk to the man, your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen is on the line. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, Matt, Gavin, Pete, Rick. Thanks for having me on the show this morning. Pete, hey, a lot of great information coming off of Captain's Concept. It's definitely going to help you to catch more fish, gang. There's never a time where I go out fishing where I go, God, I wish I didn't have so much information. There's never a time. So make sure you get as much information as you can before you go out fishing always. That's the most important thing. I know Rick, Pete, we never go out there without as much information as we possibly can have. But, gang, as far as fishing goes, we all talked about this for the last few weeks. All we needed was a little bit of consistent weather, and it happened. Starting up at the Channel Islands, you won't even believe, we got a couple of clients over at Prisoners Harbor on their private boat day before yesterday. The two of them fished halibut strictly, and they ended up with 8 halibut for the two guys. Average fish, 20 pounds, fish up to 32 pounds. Very, very good halibut fishing. That is insane over there. And then over at Santa Rosa Island, there's been some pretty good sea bass fishing. Real early in the morning, there's been a lot of limit style fishing, and then really good fishing on the squid grounds, and then around the corner at Rhodes Reef. Then we're going to jump down to Catalina. The middle backside of the island has been very, very good. We've had that giant south swell, so it kind of mixed up the water on the east end of the island where there was a little bit of sea bass. So now that water is kind of a little bit dirty, and there was some really good bonita fishing around the front from Avalon up to Long Point, but that south swell kind of messed up the water. So middle backside of Catalina has been really, really the area. There's some yellows back there, really good calico bass fishing there in the spawn mode. And then I know Wooly talked about that yellowtail over at Clemente. It's trying to get together. It just needs some a little bit more consistent weather, a little bit of conditions. There's 3 little areas at Clemente that there's some pretty good sign of yellows. And then that Marcus getting over there to the Cortez and looking at taking a good look at that. That's great news for us. And then our other little highlight was Justin, one of my guides, was out with a client yesterday, and they were out between the butterfly and the 43 and just like making a move from the butterfly into the 43, found a little spot of bluefin, ended up getting 145-pound bluefin on the Mad Mac there, and got 4 yellows off of kelp. So there's fish all all over the place. It's just about getting out there and looking around and making sure you get a reservation, because you talk to a lot of the boats, you talk to Gavin, you talk to Matt, people are excited to go fishing, and it's going to be tough to get a reservation. If you wait, it's going to be too late. So out there.
Yeah, and information, like Dave said, is the key, and fishdope.com has the information. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, is your $20 code for a new member at fishdope.com. And Dave, how do we find your information?
Well, it's almost impossible to not see me. If you don't know what I'm doing or where I'm doing it at, it's probably because you're not connected to the internet. I'm on every piece of social media that's possible. 3 brand new videos every day, and my podcast Monday through Friday at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. It's hard to not see me, but if you're not seeing me, that's okay too. Believe me, I'll make sure you get to see me somewhere.
All right. Thanks,
your saltwater guys.
We'll talk to you next Sunday.
Yes, you will. See you guys.
All right. Appreciate that very much. Hey, Elliot from Escondido has a question. I'm a young guy to become a deckhand this summer. What's the best way to make it happen? And second, what is the most important thing for a deckhand to do and have?
I'd say walking down the docks is the best thing you can do. You know, the walking around down here on a Friday night or something when guys are on boats and just asking for jobs, I think that's the best way. As far as the best thing you could do, there's like a few different things I look for in crew members. First of all, you have to be you have to work hard. You know, this is hard work. You have to be able to work hard. customer service is absolutely number one on most of these boats, hopefully all of them, you know, being...
So you have to be personable.
You have to be personable. You have to be. You have to understand that customer service is the number one priority on these boats, and willing to learn. You know, whether you know, it sounds like this kid might be new, hasn't done this, so he's probably ready to learn. But you know, if you've been around for a while, you know every boat does things a little differently. So, willing to learn how that specific boat does things is important. I say those three things.
So don't be shy, right? Go right up the mat or go up to get up the Gavin and go, hey, I'm looking for a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yep. You start asking around, and maybe when you walk up to Gavin, he's not looking for a guy, but he might know that the boat over is, or hey, you know, go talk to these guys over here. I heard they're looking for something. You know what I mean? Like, you going down here showing your face, it's how it's always been done, and it will always be the best case scenario.
Yeah, have your boots on and be ready to do something that day.
Oh,
that's a great thing. Yeah.
If the crew is scrubbing the boat and you just stand there looking at them, you're probably not going to get the job.
Yeah, if you like, we've had guys show up with their slickers on in 5:30 in the morning when we tie up and help them offload fish.
Let me help you throw fish.
Yeah, and that's like, oh man, this guy's ready to work.
Watch him work.
Yeah, he's ready to work.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, and that's a good way to get a job.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and how old do you have to be to work on a sport boat?
You have to be 18.
18.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Out of high school because our season is so long, you know, now.
It's tough because we see a lot of kids in high school that would probably be great and willing to, but you know, then you have to go through the work permit process, and work permits don't allow you to get to use extended hours, and let's be real, like, these guys,
they work extended hours.
Extended hours is all they know. Like,
if you're a kid though, you should definitely come talk to the captains. We might be able to get you out fishing or helping out and stuff, so
yeah,
it definitely pays to go down to the dock,
go down to the dock
on,
and
start talking to the captain.
And be ready to roll. Yeah. All right. Good advice.
Yeah, you don't got to worry about it in the summertime. There's no school in summertime.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the phones are packed up again. If you want to get your shot to get through, that's 213-432-1090. We're going to next up talk to Rich. He's calling us from Mission Bay. What's up, Rich? Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Good morning, boys. I love the information. I'm getting a lot today. We're just fishing spotties. Hopefully we get 50. But I had some questions on these Colt Snipers that you're talking about. So are we talking about the old school ones or the jig heavier style? And what is his favorite color of Colt Sniper for yellowtail? Because I like that old school olive green in my personal bag.
When we're talking about Colt Snipers, typically we're talking about like darts, style jigs. So Colt Sniper is kind of the most popular, but there's Daiwa Zakana jigs. There's a handful of you know, different brands, you know, but I guess the overall term that people use in the fishing community is just a Colt Sniper, but what we're really talking about is darts. As far as color, I think, you know, I don't really pay too much attention to color. I know I have a lot of regulars that come on the Pacific Queen for bluefin that like that dark purple one that I don't think they make anymore, but I don't think color makes a huge difference. I think the size of the lure and how you fish it are the two most important things.
And what size is your favorite?
And again, it just depends. You know, there's times where we're fishing yellowfin where I'm fishing like a 42 gram, and there's times where we're bluefin fishing when we're using 150 gram and everything in between. It just depends a lot on the size of the fish, how deep the fish are, and you know, how fast the boat's drifting.
There's
a place for everything.
Yeah. Totally. AFCO just came out with those new dart style jigs, and they have the right hook on them, and that's important too.
They gave us a big box of them. Actually, I didn't get a chance to use them on the last trip, but that is the first thing I noticed is they come with a good hook.
Yeah, they did a good job with those.
Those guys are always that way. We'll hear maybe some flack by somebody. Oh, those things are a couple dollars more than this one, but. Well, it's because it's got a $5 hook on it, and it's certainly lesser. You know, by the time you're done making your jig fish right, it becomes $2 lesser expensive than the other ones.
So, right.
Yeah, they did a nice job.
Exactly. All right, you got a good one, huh?
I do, yeah. This is from James in La Jolla. It says, love Captain's Concepts. Guys, I'm very curious. Two questions. One, about the right style assist hooks when using your knife jig. There's so many options out there. How do you simplify assist hooks and learning what is right? Also, are you guys fans of hooks on the top, bottom, both, etc.? And then second question is, although I do a ton of charter fishing, I most commonly fish from my skiff. How do I go about trying to develop a plunker bite on my skiff? Is it steady chum, ones and twos? How do I look for bluefin acting a certain way to try and get on a plunker on my own boat?
You make your own assist hooks, right, Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we both make our own assist hooks because there's so many options. You know, there's a fine balance between a hook that is strong enough to not bend out, but also a hook that is not heavy weight-wise to where it's going to affect your lure. So Matt and I, we both make our own assist hooks. fishing from a skiff plunker bite, that is difficult. That's hard. You know, one of the advantages you have from a sport boat is going out there with a lot of chum, a lot of bait, and we're able to stop schools or peel off a portion of that school to stick to the boat. In a skiff, it's difficult. It's not impossible, but it's not nearly as easy as it is or in a sport boat, you know, especially this time of year. This time of year is really tough. Later on in the year, especially with yellowfin, and maybe like when there's smaller schools of bluefin around or scattered fish, you're able to do that in a skiff. But this time of year, it's
tough,
if not impossible, to get a plunker bite in a skiff.
You need to really gauge what the fish is doing and determine whether you want to, whether that's like the hill that you want to die on. You know, like you, because you have to commit enough bait to throwing it to get them to activate and bite, and then enough. You know, once they're around you, even, you know, you can throw minimal bait and still keep some fish around, but it has to be, you have to give those things a reason to stay around the boat.
One of the other things is having multiple fish hooked up, and that's
huge,
some of the best chum there is having five fish in the water that are just swimming around the boat the whole time, and that's something about a hooked fish is the best.
So this time of the year, like you said, it's a little tougher. You're better off trolling a Mad Mac on a small boat?
Yeah, I think right now, if I was going to fish in a skiff, I think I would either look for fish that are jumping around on bait to where I could cast lures at them, or get in an area where there's fish and troll those Mad Max lures. Those things are killer, you know. But I think the skiffs that I've seen catch fish this year has been one of those things. I've either been seeing them. We haven't quite seen foamers yet, but there's been times where the fish are jumping around on bait, and that seems to be when skiffs do pretty well. They could drive really fast up to them and cast a lure at them, or when they're getting an area where there's fish, where there's breezers, or, you know, for us, we're seeing sonar schools, and they're able to troll those lures around and get in front of a school of them with those lures. That seems to be the best couple of ways in the springtime for the last few years to get bites from a skiff.
Yeah, very good.
All right. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming right, including more of your text, a lot more with Gavin and Matt. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey, we're so lucky here in San Diego. We have fantastic weather and great fishing. We also have three great shops to take care of anglers. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay. We call it the one-stop shop for a great day on the water because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by Johnny, is certainly one of the best. We have you covered from bay bass to big tuna. Plus, we have Doug, one of the finest reel repair guys around. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. Pete and the guys have the best rod and reels, the hottest lures, and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, growing their stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove. And Dana Landing is next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rockcod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Pisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check IndependenceSportFishing.com.
So Let's Talk Hookup, having a great time here this morning, talking captain's concepts, all this great fishing that's going on right now, and how nice is it that fish is back on the bite, too. A little hiccup there a little while ago. We're not worried about that. Weather's good. Fish are biting. Life is good, man.
Yeah, it is. And Tuna Wars 7. 8, excuse me, is coming up with the Wicked Tuna Captains coming up. And if you want to go, there's still a few spots left on the boats to fish with Captain Bob Cook from Team Fat Tuna and also Marissa McLaughlin from Team Pinwheel. And that's so if the trips depart June 12th and return June 14th, and it's an all-inclusive trip, and all the proceeds go to Take Kids Fishing. That's on Friends of Rollo. So if you want to go, and also if you want to join the captain's reception, too, which will be the night before on Sunday, the June 11th, over at Dana Landing in Mission Bay, you can go to that, too. Just check out, you can email Howard at RolloKids.org to get on the trip, or just check out RolloKids.org for more information on that. And also, check out this week's edition of Western Outdoor News. Lots of good Sierra trout fishing up there, and also some good hunting, and excuse me, not hunting, but some good bass fishing things, and a lot of information about the one charters, and also their different tournaments that are coming up, too. So this week's edition of Western Outdoor News, always loaded with great info.
You got it.
All right. You have a good one there?
I thought so, yeah. This is one for Brawla. Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm driving down right now from Sacramento to Mission Bay so I can go on the San Diego. I have a trip booked for Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. My question is, are there any must-have jigs that I've got to have on this trip that have been working? That's from Richard on his way down from Sacramento.
Make sure you have an assortment of cold snipers or those Zacanas in the like 100 to 130 gram size. That's been key for us, for the bluefin at least.
All right.
Good info.
Good tip. Hey, let's go ahead and jump into the phones, Rick.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Steve? He's calling us from Bishop this morning. Hi, Steve. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, Steve.
Looks like we might have lost Steve there, though, and we'll grab Hills. Hills is calling us from Ventura this morning. Good morning, Hills. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. Great show. Question for the captains regarding the Brawla rig. I've been using it, and it has saved my sinker fishing. I used to get all jacked up, you know, with the bait up and around the line and everything. And, question specifically is, when tying from a ringed hook down to the sinker, should I be using the a lighter piece of line so it can bust off if needed? And then for hooking the bait, is it sideways through the nose or up through the jaw like an anchovy?
We use a lighter piece of line, not terribly light. In the beginning, we were using like 20-pound. We wanted the sinker to break off, but we've experimented with it more, and now we use just like 40 or 50-pound mono, and we get the sinkers back all the time. Sinkers are expensive these days, so you might as well. If it doesn't matter fighting the fish, I say keep it on. Like we haven't had any issue losing fish with the sinkers attached to them still. And as far as hooking the bait, you go through the lower jaw up through the tip of the nose. And if you're struggling with that, it's kind of hard to do with circle hooks. You go in the mouth and up through the tip of the nose, like you would be hooking the fish, like you hooked it like
open up his mouth.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way to go.
And then as far as your pound test that you're fishing the Brawla rig with, does it vary?
Usually we tend to lean towards the heavier side. Okay. I generally tell our people 60-pound bare minimum when we're sinker rig fishing, 80-pound being ideal, just because once you're down deeper, you stand a better shot of hooking a bigger fish.
Okay. Yeah. So minimum 6-pound and 2-speed reel.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Gary from San Diego has a good question here. I'd like to know the difference between 2-speed setup for daytime versus nighttime. Also, please describe line, top shot, leader, and also, is this information on Captain's Concepts?
All the information is on Captain's Concepts for sure. Yeah. As far as like the difference, if you're for your nighttime rod, you're fishing like a Talica 25 and a 775 extra heavy. For daytime, that'd be your sinker rig rod, your 100-pound or 130-pound sinker rig rod. And if you're going to fish at night, you're going to bump up the leader, just take that other leader off, put a heavier leader, like a 200-pound leader, and then you're going to fish a jig on that rod.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So 200-pound on the jig, and daytime you're fishing
your sinker rig most likely on that setup.
On that 60 or 80.
Probably 100-pound.
Probably 100-pound.
On that size rod, yeah.
All right. Very good.
Remember you talked about a nighttime rig that you really liked at one point, and you said you kind of go away from the bite leader and just fish. Basically, you fish your wind on top shot is your bite leader.
Yeah, we don't fish bite leaders at all. I think what you're talking about is Spectra tied to like a 3 or 4 foot leader.
Mm-hmm.
That works fine to get bites. You know, I don't really like the swivel above it. I think it doesn't help as much. But the biggest thing why we have the wind-on leader, why I think having that, like, 25 feet of mono is having the stretch. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're hooking bigger ones, especially it's like massively noticeably when we start catching like 150 plus pounders. I'll walk up to a guy fighting a fish and I'll just look at his rod immediately and say this Spectra straight to a short leader because he's just getting smoked, you know, on that rod because the rod's trying to do all the work. Whereas if we hook it on one of our a lot of our passengers fish those wind on leaders now, but or on a crew rod. Having that mono to absorb that you can wind the fish in much shorter time.
25 feet of mono.
Yeah, a wind on leader. So we use like a 200 pound wind on leader is what's tied on pretty much all of our heavy boat rods to fish at night.
And I was just meaning it's such a clean way to do it because it replaces the need to have a piece of 200 pound on your jig with a swivel.
Oh.
You can just
You're straight tying right to that.
Yeah, we straight crimp or straight
you're crimping.
Tie. So we're also you're also getting rid of the. Another point where a failure point where your crimp is to your swivel mm-hmm. and where you're tying to your swivel, there's the swivel could break and there's two knots there. You're just getting rid of those three components that have the opportunity to fail.
So, and if you like, if you just crimped right to a heavy duty ring that's on a split ring, then your connection is done. And with a pair of split ring pliers, you could swap out any jig you want at any point. So if you're started with a 250 gram, but when you're trying to sink the thing out and your line's a little bit scoped out, you don't need to do anything other than grab your split ring pliers, open it up, slide your 250 gram jig off, and slide your 300 gram jig on, and now your same rig is set and ready to fish. And it's so much easier to store your jigs that way than coiling and you know trying to coil up a leader on every one. Just really clean.
So if you're fishing, so you're fishing like let's say Power Pro Depth Hunter. So it's not a hollow, so you can't splice a loop in it. How are you connecting your leader to the
We'll tie a loop. There's a couple different. You can either tie a bimini twist, or you can tie. We call it a rosy knot, which is about the simplest knot you can possibly do.
And then do a loop.
And then we do cat's paw loop to loop.
And then on your mono 200, if you're tying a knot rather than crimping, what knot are you tying in 200 pounds?
I'll tie like a four twist San Diego knot.
Four twist San Diego.
And the wind on leader too. It when you're talking about a 200 pound wind on leader that it lasts so long.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, I've had the same wind on leader tied onto my rod for weeks now. You know, it's caught tons and tons of fish, and it's fine. You know, it's not something you have to change out very often.
Yeah.
When you're talking about that heavy a line, you don't have to change it too often. It
makes a lot of sense to have that stretch too, and those bluefins are shaking their heads.
And between the stretch and then just getting rid of that swivel, I think it's a huge game changer.
Yeah,
you know.
That's great. Hey, two texts came through. One was a fun information one from our buddy Jeff. Says, great show today, you guys. FYI, as Big Jim said, Pokefest at Valley High is on Tuesday. But the tip that he wanted to drop off was if you buy your tickets online, you can use the code BLUEFIN23 and save a 20% discount when you're buying your tickets.
Whoa!
Yeah, so that was a cool pass off from our buddy Jeff at Sushi on a Roll.
Yeah, so go get them, Jeff.
Yeah.
Win the big one again.
Good luck. And then the text that I really wanted to read was from Travis in Harupa Valley. Hey, I'm a subscriber here, and your tips have absolutely landed me more fish, especially on any trip where we've been fishing the night jig. My question today is, do you see a benefit in fishing jigging rods and lighter reels at night versus traditional rail rods that weigh a little heavier when you're having to work the jig up through the water column? Should I stick to a rail rod or should I invest in a jigging rod?
It's funny you say that because as soon as I go home from here, I'm making a video exactly on that, that thing. I'm talking about there's the positives and negatives and when to use what. There's definitely times when the lighter jigging rod will get you more bites at night, and there's definitely times when you're going to need that heavier rod or you're going to wish you would have had that heavier outfit. So you just wait a couple hours.
There you go.
In a couple hours here, I'm going to talk exactly
so it'll
that.
Be on Captain's Concert in a couple hours.
In a few hours here. I'm going to come right after this.
And you'll talk about what are those guys that come on your boat all the time that are – That you do the
West Coast jiggers?
Yeah, West Coast jiggers.
Yeah, those guys. And then Gary. Gary was on our last trip.
Uh-huh.
Probably the best knife jig fisherman that there is that
so
I've
you've
ever seen.
It. You've seen these guys in action.
Oh,
Gary's an animal.
Gary, which is another cool thing about Captain's Concepts is you're not only getting Matt and I's information, you know, it's like we are learning from our passengers, you know, all the time. Like I've basically learned how to fish a knife jig from these West Coast jigger guys and from Gary and from trying a little bit on my own too, obviously, you know, but you're getting a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you see the West Coast jigger guys have success with this jig and this setup and this rod and reel, and you get to the people that follow Captain Concept then get that info directly through you.
Yeah, we see the right and the wrong way all the time. Yeah, we know what not to do for sure a lot.
And that's a good point, too. And, you know, like you said, that's the reason there is going to be a video, because a jigging rod is a pretty specific tool, but you can get tooled up real bad, you know, if you're not comfortable with it. It's a technique-specific system.
Yeah, so on the boat, I fish my jigging rod at night sometimes, and I fish my rail rod sometimes. And there's times when I have only fished one of them in a night and for a particular reason, and that's exactly what I'll talk about today. Because I get that question on the boat all the time, like, hey, when is the time to use the rail rod? When is the time to use the jigging rod?
Is it
good stuff?
Is it important for somebody to invest into that rod and reel outfit? Is a jigging rod and reel something that a savvy guy should have in his arsenal, or is it a real niche thing where you're not going to use it enough, or is it to the point now where you should probably make the investment and have that rod and reel?
If you understand how much work it is to do it, you know, and you're
not for everybody,
and you're going to do it, and you're going to do it efficiently, there's absolutely no reason why you should not have one in your arsenal. There's no reason whatsoever. If you watch the guys work the jigs like that, and you're like, you know, that style of fishing is not really for me, you know, like the jigging stuff is an expensive thing to get into. The rods are expensive. The high quality reels are expensive. So if you know that you're not going to be physically want to work jigs like that, then there's no reason to have it, you know, because.
You can see that, do you have video of those techniques on Captain's Concept?
Yes, we do.
So you can see how much work it is.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. And, you know, we've noticed that this year, especially, I'm sure you've noticed it too. Like, there's a lot of people that are getting into speed jigging.
Oh, yeah, we get a lot of rods.
And
you see them on your boat too.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Every trip. Now we used to hardly ever.
That's
see
why
them.
You can't get the trip. Shimano jiggy. What is it?
The jigger.
The jigger.
Jigger.
Yeah,
that
OSHA jigger.
That thing's sweet.
That thing's so much power in there. Holy mackerel!
But we see people on the boat that have these really nice, expensive jigging outfits that are not using them to the jigging potential whatsoever. So they could do the same thing with the much different outfit.
Yeah, don't spend all that money on that rod and reel if you're going to fish it the same way that you're fishing your 770 extra heavy and your Talica 20.
Exactly, because you're going to get the same amount of bites fishing that way, but having that rail rod, you're going to be able to wind your fish in much easier and much more comfortably.
Yeah. Hey, let's jump back on the phones, Rick.
You got it. Hey, they're packed up. This time we're going to talk to Sean. Sean's calling us from Lomita this morning. Hi, Sean. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, guys. First of all, quick question, and then another fishing question. How's Wyatt doing over there, Rick? And also for the boys, I've had a lot of success. Once the boat is drifting on a tunker bite, you got a couple of fish hanging to soak a bait off the bow. Because is it true that the boat drifts from stern first, and is the chum line or the fish we just drifted away from off the bow usually?
It's true that a lot of the boats, some boats drift different, but a lot of the boats drift stern first. So as you're drifting, especially on a longer stop, there's just a steady stream of chum coming out from underneath the anchor there. And that's one of the hot spots. One of the latest videos I just made, we're busted the whiteboard out again and, went over the hot spots of plunker fishing. The bow is an obvious one. If you're willing to run up there, it's one of the sleeper spots. And I know Gavin's boat drifts really fast, stern first. So everything goes down in the bow on that one. But a lot of the boats, they drift stern first, and it's kind of a sleeper spot. Everyone fishes in the stern. If you can run up to the bow, if you're willing to run your bait up to the bow, you'll have a lot better trip.
Valuable information, man.
And Captain Concept, such a good call, too. Again, you know, even if you're not going to get to fish with you on the San Diego or you on the Pacific Queen, like, that info is great for everybody. Yeah.
Hey, from Roden and Spanish Fork. That's in Utah, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. Probably listening on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Good morning, guys. I'm going to be on the Pacific Queen on a charter in June. You have spoken about heavy sinker rigs for night fishing. The question I have, does glow make a difference at night, or does it mostly just catch fishermen?
It catches fishermen.
Okay.
Yeah. When we
color
first,
doesn't matter.
When we first started doing the night fishing, we were glowing jigs and doing that, and now it's to the point now where I don't even see anybody glowing their jigs anymore.
Yeah.
I don't see people doing it. It seems like there's not even as many glow in the dark lures on the market anymore. It doesn't make a difference.
Color doesn't matter.
When we started selling,
you're 100% better off instead of glowing your jig, getting it in the water when he says to get it in the water.
Gotcha. Yeah.
When this whole thing started and we were selling flat falls, you had to have a glow flat fall 250, and nobody else would buy it. And now our most popular lure is a torpedo sinker. So
torpedo sinker,
I don't think it makes a world of difference.
The Eddy rig.
Hey, I wanted to jump back into the phones. This time talking to John from Long Beach. Good morning, John. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, gentlemen. I got a question for Matt. On the 30 to 50 pound bluefin where you're fishing with a straight fly line sardine, what is your line setup you use for that?
We're a big fan of matching our specter size to our leader size. So if I'm fishing 40 pound fluorocarbon, I have 40 pound specter on my reel. It just cuts through the water a lot better. You keep a lot of line on your reel, which is a big thing when you're fighting the fish. But that thinner line cuts through the water a lot better. I use 15 to 25 feet of fluorocarbon. I'm a big proponent in that.
Oh, pretty big, pretty long.
Yeah, long leader. I tie an FG knot and just goes through the guides pretty good. And whatever size hook you need for the bait you're fishing.
When you say you keep a lot of line in your reel, are you referring to like to the diameter that your spool is? Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So if you're fishing 40 pound spectra, you have a lot of line on your reel, and 100 yards off your reel doesn't look like very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so your reel performs a little bit better.
Every turn of the handle, you're gaining more line because you're turning a larger diameter.
Exactly.
Arbor.
All right.
That's great. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's got themselves a brand new pair of Costas. More Let's Talk Hookup with Captain's Concepts. When we return, it's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
It's finally back. The Longfin in Orange, Southern California's premier fishing superstore, is having the Shimano Super Sale Saturday, June 3rd from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's truly a big event with amazing sales on Shimano and almost everything else in the Longfin. After 2 years of COVID supply shortages, the Longfin is fully stocked and ready for this not-to-be-missed tackle sale. Shimano Pro staffers will be under the tents in the Longfin parking lot to show you the latest from Shimano, G. Loomis, and Power Pro. Inside the Longfin, there is a Shimano store within the store with special offers available on almost all fishing gear in their massive inventory. Every rod and reel, every lure, every tackle bag, every item of clothing will be on sale Saturday, June 3rd. Shimano Day at the Longfin is one day only, Saturday, June 3rd, starting at 7 and open till 7. The Longfin, 2730 East Chapman, just off the 55 freeway in Orange. Check thelongfin.com.
Low, low, low gas prices, great service, and free ice is what Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena is all about. For your car, truck, and especially your trailer boat, you need Summit Gasoline. The savings are substantial when you fill up at the Summit, but they don't compromise on service. No way. The great staff is attentive, friendly, and ready to help. When you pull up to the pumps, notice how clean it is, the great sound system, and of course, the low gas and diesel prices. Walk into the Summit Gasoline Bistro and check out the selection of frozen bait and chum, the top-of-the-line Italian coffee, and so much more. Now, hear this. Get 100 pounds of ice free with a 35-gallon minimum purchase, and stock up on snacks, beer, water, soda, and fishing licenses for your trip. Just when you need low gas prices most, Summit Gasoline at the Sports Arena comes to the rescue. Summit Gasoline. Low prices, friendly staff, free ice, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone, the Ford F-150, available with a pro-power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, we're going to find out who the big winner of a pair of Costa sunglasses are at the end of the show. Gavin's going to do us the honors, flipping the coin. And today we have a texter as our winner, and a congratulations, Richard from Sacramento. You got yourself a brand new pair of Costas. You're stoked.
Yeah, you're stoked. And don't forget Costa's 40th anniversary this Thursday at West Marine in Point Loma. Free tacos,
yeah, man.
From 4 to 8 p.m. We'll see you there. And guys, what a great show, man. It's just never enough time. Captain's Concepts, how do we get a hold of you?
So if we're on the app Patreon. It's kind of like an Instagram setup. But if you just Google Captain Concepts, it'll take you straight to our Patreon page. Also, we have Instagram. If you guys look at stuff on Instagram, we posting stuff all the time on our Instagram. So check us out, Captain's Concepts on Instagram as well.
Okay, great, guys. And we'll see you on the San Diego mat, and we'll see you on the Pacific Queen, Gavin.
Great job, guys. Great.
Appreciate that very much. And thanks to JP in the studio, and thanks to Adam for doing all the great stuff on the app. And we'll be back next Saturday and Sunday. Next Saturday, Jim Hendricks from Bonaire Outdoors in CCA, California. Next Sunday, Jamie Thinnes from Season Sport Fishing. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio on the Let's Talk Hookup.